A good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are live in Bethesda from Caddies on Cordell, where we are getting ready. This is the first time I'll say this today. I will say it many times. Because frankly, the more times I say it, I might start believing it. We're getting ready for the NFC Championship game. The Washington Commanders are 60 minutes away. I'm going to try not to laugh when I say this. From playing in the Super Bowl in 2025, the year of our Lord. Eric Bickle of the Sports Junkies is swinging through here in just a few minutes. We will have Jay Gruden on the show today at 5 o'clock. How do you stop Jalen Carter? How do you slow down Saquon Barkley? We've asked him to crunch the film, go through the numbers. He will put together a game plan for us at 5. I am flanked today not by Danny Ruye, who, in show fashion, as was always going to have to be the case, with the Commanders playing the biggest game they played in 33 years, is not here today, unfortunately. I know. He is healthy. He is unavailable. We push on without Danny. But that is very on brand. If you know the program, you know that Danny misses the biggest shows that we do. And today certainly qualifies. But we are flanked by Toby Altizer, who is filling in representing the youngest generation of Commanders fans. I consider myself as a mid-30s guy who's not old enough to have remembered the original Super Bowls. You know, the millennial Commanders fan, if you will, that's like, yeah, if you guys say they won the Super Bowls, I believe you. I've seen the footage.
Yeah.
Your earliest memories, this is even worse. Guys like Patrick Ramsey, Mark Brunell, right? That's like your wheelhouse.
I had a cat named Ramsey. That was my favorite player growing up. Shows you how much I knew about football when I was growing up. But, yeah, I didn't remember 2005 and the playoff victory. So this playoff run is new to me. This playoff run, winning football games, going further in the playoffs, playing for a potential Super Bowl, it's never happened in my lifetime. So this is all new, and Grant, it is fun. The fact that we're still talking about this football team, not in retrospect, not talking about the season that was special, because that's going to be a lot of fun too, but the fact that we're still talking about a matchup this weekend in Philadelphia, 60 minutes from going to a Super Bowl, with a legitimate shot, by the way, of winning that game, it's something totally new.
Well, look, they may or may not win. They're playing a fairly superior opponent based on the regular season, but they are playing a team they have already beaten this year. They are playing a team that the last time they went to their building, and I was there at Lincoln Financial Field, they led going into the fourth quarter. They had a chance, if they kick a field goal in the middle of the fourth quarter, from going up over Philadelphia in that game. So the idea that they cannot win, that the Eagles are too good, that this is some lopsided matchup, I do not subscribe to. The Commanders scored 36 points. Jaden Daniels had a career-high 5 passing touchdowns against the vaunted number one defense in the NFL about a month ago. I'm not scared of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, are they good? Sure they are. So were the Lions.
Exactly.
How'd that work out? In fact, I would say that going to Detroit in the loudest environment they've played in all year on the road, with 2 weeks to prepare for the Lions coaching staff, with not only a rested roster, but that Lions offense and all the weapons that they had to go against Washington's mediocre defense, was a worse matchup on paper. Paper has meant nothing. Crumble it up, toss it out. They weren't as good as the Bucs. Tampa Bay's golfing right now. They weren't as good as the Lions. Ben Johnson's now the coach of the Bears, and Aaron Glenn's now the coach of the Jets. Let's take our chances against Philadelphia, and we'll see where the chips fall. Because the fact has been all year long, Jaden Daniels, every time expectations are put in front of him, surpasses them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great equalizer, right? You look on paper, these rosters that they played week after week are better. But Washington has a better quarterback. That's the great equalizer in this sport. When you've got the guy that can go out there and make plays, and we're going to talk with EB in a little bit, I thought he was kind of ahead of this. Let Jaden cook, right? I think that second Philadelphia game really showed me something, where you knew this was the guy, right? You knew this was going to be your franchise quarterback. But the second half of that Philadelphia game that they won in Washington was when you said, oh, he's one of those guys. He's one of those dudes you can put everything on his back and he can go win you the football game. He's the one like a Pat Mahomes, a Josh Allen, Allen and Lamar Jackson, those guys that can win games for you. I hadn't seen that to that point. Now you're seeing it not only in a couple of regular season games to clinch a playoff spot, now you're seeing it in the playoffs too. He's special, and when you go into Philadelphia, while your team might not be better overall, your quarterback is, and you feel like you got a shot.
Yeah, to me, I think this is what's so amazing. I saw something on TV last night about how Daniels is about to be the sixth rookie quarterback to ever start in a conference championship game. And that number's correct, except those other guys weren't in the same situation as him. We're talking about like Mark Sanchez, who was with a New York Jets team that was elite defensively and had the number one rushing offense in the NFL with Rex Ryan. We're talking about Joe Flacco, when the Ravens were a run-the-ball, play-defense operation, and he just had to caretaker their way without turning the ball over. Those were don't-beat-us quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels is the drag-you-into-the-fight-with-me quarterback. He's your leading passer. He's your leading rusher. You're winning shootouts. It's a very, very different thing. We haven't seen anything quite like it, but there has never been a rookie quarterback who has played in a Super Bowl. No rookie has gotten through this level, and he can't do it by himself. It's not one against 53 of Philly, right? Cliff Kingsbury's had an unbelievable season. He needs help offensively. Deami Brown, who had never caught five balls, not one time, in four seasons in the NFL, has had back-to-back career days in the postseason. Terry McLaurin has been unbelievable during this stretch, even while not very utilized last week. I mean, it was a slow target game for him. The 58-yard screen touchdown that he had was significant, and this team has just made enough plays, even defensively, where we have knocked them more often than not this year because they're just not that good on that side of the ball. They're taking the ball away. They know they're not going to get stops all game long and force punts and keep teams from scoring. So why don't we generate a takeaway or two? Or against the Lions, five. They picked off the Lions four times. They are plus six in turnover margin. And if you want to know why Washington's playing and we're partying at Caddy's today, the biggest reason other than just Daniels' excellence this year and his poise is the plus six turnover margin through two playoff games on the road. That does not happen. Away from your place in those environments, zero turnovers, six takeaways, that is unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, you look at teams that win in the playoffs. You're looking at Kansas City going for their third straight Super Bowl. What do they do in the playoffs? They don't make mistakes. They don't blink. Nothing is too big for them. You've seen in two playoff games now where Washington was the team that didn't blink. They didn't turn the ball over. You think back to Tampa. They only turned it over once. But think about some of the mental mistakes they had, some of the penalties. Graham Barton snapping the ball early. No one's ready on third down. That turns into a stop. That turns into a field goal, not a touchdown on that sort of drive. Washington hasn't blinked. They've come up big in all these spots. A plus six turnover margin. Now, I think it's interesting. You look at Philadelphia on the other side of this one. They also have a plus six turnover margin in the playoffs. So both of these teams have played relatively clean football to this point. I think that could be the deciding factor. We can break down, you know, the quarterback matchup, what they're going to do, whether they're going to blitz Jaden and all these things. With playoff football, with how both of these teams are playing, it might come down to who plays the cleaner game. And with how Washington's been playing, I have all the faith that they're going to go in there. The noise isn't going to bother them. Going to the link isn't going to bother them because Detroit's a raucous environment, right? Detroit is a hard place to play. They went in there and they were the team that didn't screw up. It's everyone too, by the way.
Well, they've also been to the link so recently,
exactly,
and experienced it so recently that my opinion in life is nerves come from a lack of confidence or just not knowing, right? When you've done something before enough, you're not as nervous. You're prepared. If I'm doing a show I've never done before in an environment I've never done, I'm like, okay, what's that like? I'm going to get there early. I'm going to go through the motions. If you're playing in the outfield in the big leagues and you've never been in a ballpark, you better walk your butt out there and play some balls off the wall and play some caroms and see what trouble areas there are reading the baseball in the sky. They just were at this stadium. They just played this game. There's just more eyeballs. It's time to do the Hoosiers bit where you take out the measuring tape and you go, it's the same game we just played, guys. You were up after three quarters. You had a fourth quarter lead if we kick a chip shot field goal. This is a game you can absolutely win. We should pass out some good news here right at the start of the show. Caddies in Bethesda will be here until 6:30. So if you're in the area, come on out. We'll be partying all day long ahead of the NFC Championship game. So the Raiders today hired Pete Carroll as their head coach. So apparently it's 2006 again. Having said that, okay, that's one less job now available and one of the better jobs that was left potentially based on their draft positioning and Tom Brady being involved for Cliff Kingsbury. The only two remaining head coaching jobs are New Orleans, dramatically over the cap. Doesn't feel like a particularly good job.
He's not going there.
And Dallas, which would be a fine job, except Jerry Jones is a maniac. Okay? Isn't it nice now to be able to look at other teams' owners and be like, what's that like to have a terrible owner?
Yeah.
Couldn't be me. I don't know what it's like to have a joke of an organization because your owner's a silly goose. Certainly not mine. But if you're Kingsbury, he's already said, I'm not interviewing with anyone until after the season ends. You get a win on Sunday. That's a few more weeks, by the way, because you got to ramp up for the Super Bowl. There may be no jobs left. They may luck box into another year of Cliff Kingsbury with Jaden Daniels, run this whole thing back in his sophomore season, which would be, I don't think I have to tell you guys, a really, really good thing.
Yeah, it'd be huge. I mean, Jaden has been spectacular as a rookie. You expect him to get better in his second year, but it's a little more difficult to do that when you're starting over, when you're having to learn a new offense. You're having to do these things again, and hopefully they have a contingency plan in place if something does happen. But I wanted to go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier with Cliff Kingsbury. Ben Johnson's the one that screwed up at the end of that game with a play call, right? Like, everybody has been so good. Like, you saw Cliff Kingsbury. They haven't been able to run the football with their running backs at all in the second half of the year. They found a way against Detroit. They found a way. It was stealing stuff out of Josh Heupel's playbook in Tennessee and spreading the receivers all the way out to the sideline and different things. Cliff Kingsbury's been excellent in the playoffs, too. We're going to talk about the players and what they're doing, but I think it's also important, too, that these coaches have done a great job calling plays and making sure that they don't take their own players out of the game.
Yeah, starts with Dan Quinn, who deserves a ton of credit for not just building a phenomenal staff, which he did right away this year, but the culture began, it felt like, with him. And it was not like at any point Quinn or Peters, the GM, or anybody else in the building expected that they'd be playing right now. Because make no mistake about it, they did not think they would be playing in an NFC Championship game. But if you just do enough little things correct, you kind of figure it out as you go. I don't think they accounted for their quarterback becoming arguably the best quarterback in the NFC at this moment. I don't think they accounted for the fact that Daniels would be the best player in football in the playoffs, which is what he has been, certainly in the Detroit game, and was really good in Tampa as well, and that's how they're here. But you're right. They've called plays really well offensively with Kingsbury. Witt has done a very good job scheming things up to get some takeaways in the secondary, which we talked about. The praise goes all around the building. I mean, it's very easy for us to start and stop with Daniels because we've never seen anything quite like it. But there's a lot of pieces to this pie, to be clear. The other good news, as far as continuity moving forward, as we're keeping one eye on the future as well here at the beginning of this window, the Jets hired a GM today. And the rumor for about a week and a half was that they were going to be hiring Washington's assistant GM, Lance Newmark, who's Adam Peters' right-hand man. And they didn't hire Newmark. They have hired somebody else. So Newmark probably stays in the building as well. So some of what looked like it could be the first phase of, like, the, you know, taking your ice chisel to this operation. Because as you're good, everyone's going to want a piece. They're going to be grabbing a front office member, a coach. That may wait, it looks like, which is a really, really good thing for Washington as they get ready for the Eagles. Did you guys hear the comments this week of Jason Kelce, the former Eagle, who's a Hall of Famer to be, who's all over ESPN. By the way, does ESPN have a rule that they can't do a show without Jason Kelce? I mean, my God, I like the guy too. I'm all for fat guys with beards getting work. Like, I am a big fan of that. But, dude, this guy is everywhere.
Everywhere. Late night show now. Yeah, too much.
Did we need a late night show? It's like him and his wife and his kids hosting late night. Whatever. Good for him. I'm not going to knock it. But he says that the Eagles are better than the Commanders at every single position. Now, I actually think the Eagles might be better than Washington at almost every position.
Almost.
And to that I say, so what? Like, did the Lions get bonus points for that?
Exactly right.
They were better than the Commanders at a lot of positions too. Cool. How did it work out? I would also say this. There's one little position.
Yes.
That you're forgetting. Are we sure, Jason Kelce, that you'd take Jalen Hurts over Jaden Daniels right now? Are we sure about that? Because I can promise you, I'm not trading Daniels for Hurts.
No chance. No chance.
It's not even close at this moment. Could Hurts outplay him this weekend? Sure, he's at home. Probably got a better supporting cast. But the idea of just brushing past quarterback to say that the Eagles are better at every position, well, they're better at a lot of positions. But I would take Washington's head coach over theirs, Dan Quinn, over Nick Sirianni. And you could say that's a wash, or based on Sirianni's win-loss record, you take him. Fine, no problem. You cannot debate with me that Daniels has been better than Jalen Hurts this year.
Exactly right.
The most important position.
And that's the thing. We can argue about this, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin. We can argue about the running backs, obviously. You can argue about all these things. I don't really care. It does not matter. When you have the better quarterback, you always have a shot. And so Detroit had a better team. I think Tampa had a better team overall. I think you could look through a lot of the teams in the NFL and say they had a better team overall. But also, Grant, just because you have the better team doesn't mean you're playing better. This team is playing at an unreal level. They have maxed out what they can do. I liked what Dan Quinn said this week, where he said, we have found our identity, we haven't found the ceiling yet. I don't know what the ceiling is, and the crazy part is the ceiling might be a Super Bowl.
Do you agree with that, though? Because here's what I'll say. I don't know that they can play a better game than they played in Detroit. Now, I don't think they need to. I think if they play that game again, they beat Philly. I think if you play that game again, you beat Buffalo or Kansas City, probably. It would be really tight. But I think you could win the Super Bowl. I don't know that they have a better game than the Detroit game. I don't know that they got a club in the bag there.
Well, and they might not have one. Like you said, it's enough to win. But the thing is Philly playing at an unreal level? They might be more talented, but are they? Go back and watch the Packers game. Jalen Hurts is banged up going into this one, regardless of what they're going to say. He might be 80% healthy. He might be 90%. He's not 100%. And if you look at the numbers so far in the playoffs, Jaden has passed for 567 yards and 4 touchdowns. Compare that to 259 passing yards for Jalen Hurts in the playoffs. He's been better running the football. You know, Jaden's run for 87. Jalen Hurts has run for 106 and 1 touchdown. But if you take away the legs from Jalen Hurts, you scared of his arm? No, not at all. And the big thing here, too, is I think where you've seen Jaden grow in the playoffs, one sack. Jalen's taken 9. There's no one playing better in the playoffs right now than Jaden Daniels. And so regardless of what you think about the rosters, they've got the better quarterback here.
9 sacks by Hurts, by the way, in 2 playoff games is absurd. But it speaks to his lack of explosive mobility right now. He's not twitchy. Like, when you watch him in the pocket, his knee is banged up. In fact, he was asked today, I'm looking at the quote right in front of me here, at his press conference, on his knee, he said, it's progressing. That's all he would say. It's getting better. And then he was asked if he's going to wear a brace on Sunday, and he said he is. So he's wearing a brace, and it's improving. That's what we know about his knee. He could barely move. He took a safety because he couldn't get away from me last week. So I just don't trust that he's going to be running around making plays. And a pocket passing Hurts does not scare me. This was Kelce. For those of you that haven't heard the comments, I do want to play them in full because I did think that he was actually gracious to the Commanders in saying he doesn't know that the Eagles will beat them. They're very, very tough to beat. They're really good. But he did suggest that at least in terms of personnel, the Eagles are better everywhere.
I have not expected the Commanders seem to be at this point all season long. I think that they have a tremendous quarterback who's played really well as a rookie. And their coaches have done a phenomenal job. I think as players, they have good players. I wouldn't say, like, I'll be very candid. I think the Eagles are better at every position. Like, I don't know that there is one position, if you put the two rosters, the depth charts next to each other, that I would take the Washington player over the Eagle player. And that is a very honest assessment. I think that the Eagles are loaded. In Washington, to their credit, they play extremely well as a team. Dan Quinn is a fantastic coach. They scheme things well. Dan has always schemed us well. Even in Dallas, I didn't think that Dallas was particularly that good on defense last year, and they played us really tough in Dallas. So they're well coached. They play as a unit. They make minimal mistakes. They go for it on fourth down and get it a lot, which increases drives and you know, their opportunities. So they do a lot of things really, really well, which is a big reason they're still here. And they just got done beating the best team in the NFC, arguably, over the last 2 seasons, pretty candidly in their house. Mm. And, you know, I think, you know, obviously Detroit had some mistakes that magnified that, but you know, there wasn't a lot of defense played on either side of the ball, but it's going to be a tough game. And, you know, Washington, when your quarterback is playing that well and you're that disciplined as a team, it's really hard to beat teams like that.
It is going to be a tough game for the Eagles, isn't it? Wouldn't want to be Philly. We are at Caddies on Cordell in Bethesda. We will be here until 6:30 today. Eric Bickle of the Junkies is going to swing by. We're getting ready for championship-level football. No Danny today. Toby alongside. Grant Paulson with you on the Fan.